And so if you'd open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll give everyone a minute to get there. My concern is, well, I shouldn't say concern, it's an awareness, and I share this awareness with Pastor Darren, that, you know, we're going to have, a lot of us will be quarantined, self-quarantined in place in homes. We'll have limited connection with each other. You know, it's like this morning, you guys know me. You know, consider yourself all the recipients of a virtual hug, in that, because I miss seeing you this morning. And so we'll be somewhat isolated over the next few weeks, or however long this takes, and we don't know. And I know that two things. One, the enemy likes to attack us when we're isolated, and he also, it's an old saying that doesn't get said much anymore, but idle hands are the devil's workshop, in that you know, and we will have time on our hands. And it's natural if we're home because our work is quarantined or whatever, you know, we can sit there and watch CNN and Fox News and go to USA Today on the website or Bradenton.com and see all the latest news on the virus. And if we do that, it'll only be a matter of time before we start becoming fearful and start becoming afraid. And the enemy will use that. He will get in our head and start talking to us, talking trash to us, and that it is trash, but he will start talking to us. And, you know, when the news reports seem to confirm what he's saying, and that it'll be easy to believe his lies, and that. But they are lies.
That's right.
And I also know that in those kind of times, it's easy for me to say, you know what, boy, I need some encouragement. You know, I need a break. You know, and it's one thing if I go fill a bowl of ice cream. Okay, I might come out of this quarantine 20 pounds heavier than I went in. And but it's a little different if I start binge watching things on TV that I shouldn't be binge watching. You know, it's going to be temptation to go to websites that we should not be going to. It's like, oh, you know, I need a mental break. I need to get away from all of this fear and all this anxiety and the stuff that's going on. Well, the devil's going to be telling me to go to places that I should not go. And that's one reason why the right now media, we feel is very important. That time, we should be spending that time in the Word of God. We should be spending that time calling our brothers and sisters.
Reaching out to each other. That's right.
How are you doing? Are you doing okay in that? And it's hard for some of us to say, you know what, I'm being tempted. I need to call my brother Nathan and say, hey, Nate, I'm struggling right now.
That's right.
You know, I feel like going places I should not go. Would you please pray for me? Would you please pray with me? And that we need to be doing that. Now, the passage that we're familiar with in 1 Peter 5, normally we begin with verse 8, but this morning I want to begin with verse 6. All right. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And that strikes me that that's very accurate for this exact time. That we should cast our anxiety on the Lord, and that we shouldn't be fearful of what the future is going to hold, and that because God's hand truly is mighty, this virus has not surprised him. There's nothing here that he didn't know about before it happened, and that the passage that we normally get to is verse 8: "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." All right, let's break that passage down.
That's good.
Right? Be self-controlled and alert. All right? I'm sitting at home alone, my mind wandering. I'm not alert. I'm not paying attention to what is going through my mind in that. I need to be self-controlled. I need to take control of myself and not let the world guide or control what's happening to me.
That's right. You did I tell you, or can I tell you, as far as what we've been doing at our place? Is that something I can interject here real quick? Obviously, we've got the family at home, and we're trying to figure out what to do. Well, my wife, she just keeps going, and she's doing spring cleaning, and she's organized closets. We've organized closets. We've redone the living room area, moved things around. In fact, we're looking at doing some repainting in our bathroom. So just something to get out. And the kids, we've been encouraging them to play outside or to somehow get out into we've got a little backyard that they're able to play mm-hmm. around in, and somehow get outside, go for a bike ride. There's ways that you can get out and not just be sitting in front of the television the whole time. Cool. And one of the biggest things that really stuck out to me that Erica brought up, my wife, she said, we don't want to get to the end of this time of quarantine, this time of isolation, and say, wow, we wasted all that time. We could have been doing this. We could have been doing that. We could have been reading that book that we always been putting off. We could have been making that extra phone call that we never get to make to call a relative or friend that we haven't spoken to in a long time. And, let's not get to the end of this, because there will be an end. We'll definitely get to the end of this. Mm-hmm. But let's not get to the end of this and be stuck with a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Really just take some time and maybe jot down a list of things that I'd like to do in this amount of time. Do some brainstorming.
I imagine a lot of us have a book. I've had Lies Men Believe sitting there, and I've gone through a couple of chapters, and it just never seems to get to the top of the stack. And now may be a good time for me to get into that, and you to get the one that's sitting, on your nightstand or whatever.
You can work on that garage that you were telling me about,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
I'll put him on the spot here.
He is. He's killing me. George, when you get a chance, would you load up the message PowerPoint? Okay, let's go back to the verse, though. All right. And your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And that. Now, you may have heard me say this before, but it's absolutely true. When a lion hunts, he will follow after the pack of impalas or the pack of giraffes or whatever it is. He's looking for the one that's lagging behind, the one that's isolated, the one that's not part of the herd. That's the one he attacks. And the truth is that we're separated physically right now. And it makes it easier for him to attack us. We are foolish if we are not expecting that attack and to be ready for that attack. Well, how do you get ready for that attack? All right. How do we resist him standing firm in the faith? Well, there's the answer. We stand firm in the faith. Right now is the time. If you have a daily time with the Lord, you spend time in a daily devotional or whatever it is in that. Now is the time not to change your habits. You need to stay with it. If you've never had that time, and I've had people go, oh, boy, I need to be at work early. I don't know if I can get up an extra hour early to spend time with the Lord every day. Well, you know what? Your excuse is gone.
Here's your
I'm
extra
sorry.
Hour, you know, right? There
you've
go.
Got your extra hour. And now is the time to resist the enemy. Right? And it says, standing firm in the faith, right? In the faith. That's where we stand firm. We don't stand firm on CNN. We don't stand firm Amen. On Netflix. Amen. We stand firm in the faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Because your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Right? Now, what's fascinating, that's usually where we quit studying it. But let's look at the next paragraph, right, beginning in verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the last part that Peter puts in this letter. And quite often we leave the last part of the message for the most important part. And I think that's so true now, right? God is a God of grace, right? He hasn't stepped off the throne. He is not quarantined. He's not controlled by the CDC or the virus. And and he has called us to eternal glory in Christ. And that, so he will be with us through this time, and he will see us through this time.
Amen.
Yeah, so anyway, that's free bonus, no extra charge.
Amen. We'll be saying this again, but please, if anyone is needing help as far as, they're needing supplies, they're needing somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with, they're needing toilet paper, please reach out to the body. Please reach out to those around you. Your church is here for you, and we'll figure out how to work together and help these needs be taken care of. There's no need to panic. We're going to work together and ride this out with the Lord's help and working together. Isn't that right?
That's right. In fact, I would ask that, we just passed out new directories. And if you didn't get one, send me a text with your email address, and I'll send you a digital copy and that open it yourself. Make a point of every day or two calling somebody from the body, and maybe somebody that you haven't really gotten to know well. And ask them, if you're going to the grocery store, do they need anything? And that neighbors too. And that see what spiritual shape they're in. This is a time for us to connect. We can't connect here on Sunday mornings, and that we need to connect in every way that we can. And that's so, Nathan, you're exactly right.
Yep, we just got to keep being creative and look for other ways to make it work.
Okay, now for this morning's message, Nathan.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me take you on a little bit of a journey. And that over the last couple, 2 weeks ago, I asked the Lord for a topic for this morning's message, right? And this is where I ended up, right? Right now you hear talk, pandemic is all over the news. And it's a word that, 6 months ago, I don't think anybody ever heard of pandemic. We've got a board game at home, which is kind of strange, but it's not a word that we use often, right? And it means an uncontrollable, contagious event, right? And I think we have an opportunity here to have a pandemic of faith in that instead of a pandemic of fear. In that, now, when I started 2 weeks ago, all right, the Lord talked to me and he said, Jesus wept. And I started thinking about that, right? I only know of two passages in Scripture where it says that Jesus wept. The one is when Lazarus was raised, and the other is when Jesus was looking over the city of Jerusalem, right? And the passage on Lazarus, people, you ask yourself, well, why would Jesus weep? And there's a lot of people say, well, because Lazarus has died. Well, Jesus knows that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead in just a few moments. And that being the case, I don't think he's weeping because Lazarus is dead. Now he could be weeping because he knows Mary and Martha are suffering because they think their brother is dead, and they don't know what the future is. He could be sharing in their suffering, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. It also is possible that he's weeping because he knows that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus, instead of being in the arms of the Lord, is going to return to this earthly place with all his trials and troubles. The passage where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, if you look at it, and it's in John chapter 9, it explains that Jesus weeps because the city does not receive his message. And he knows what's coming, and he knows the pain and suffering that's coming. And that, I look at that, and Jesus came to reconcile us to God. That was the reason that he came. All right, that's what forgiveness of sins, what grace is all about. And when we're separated from the Lord, and that it hurts him, and he does, he weeps over our suffering. So led me to the question, well, what does it really mean to be born again? All right, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about Christianese, and we looked at idolatry and worship and what they really meant. And, you know, if you were all here and I asked people to raise their hands if you know what born again means, I imagine that virtually everybody would raise their hand. And I'm sure that everyone would have a valid answer. But I wonder if we have a complete answer. So let's look at what Jesus says, all right? In the passage that we're familiar with, John 3, all right, and that he says at the end, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And that, so being born again means being born of water and the Spirit. It's interesting, if we look at the Greek, again, actually means, that word can be translated from above. And so if I'm truly born again, that means I have a heavenly identity, right? And I need to see with spiritual eyes, right? It's easy for me to see with fleshly eyes. I can look out here and I see Nathan, I see George. I need spiritual eyes when I'm born again, right? So let me ask a question, right? For so many of us, I fear that, I won't go there. I think for so many folks, Jesus is their Savior. They're born again, they've made a prayer, a confession, and accepted Jesus as their Savior, and that. But they kind of glossed over the Lord part. All right, you know, I look at it, I think of the light beer commercials from the I guess they were 70s or 80s, and that, you know, tastes great, less filling, and that. And sometimes I think a lot of Christians have a Christianity light. It tastes great, but it's less filling. And that. Now, Jesus changed our eternity. Right? He changed the way we should live today. He's not only our Savior, he's definitely that without a doubt, and that, but he's also our Lord. And being Lord, he has the right to change the way we react to the world around us. Now, why is that especially important today? All right? And that, well, a truism is that when people are shaken, what's inside will spill out, and just like a glass of water, and that. You look at what's going on in our stores right now. You know, I've heard some amazing stories just in the last week or so. Right, I've heard one story of someone was in line waiting for a grocery store, Detweiler's, to open. And while they were in line waiting for it to open, and they were in the, I hate to say seniors line, but the early opening for those over 60, people were trying to cut in line, right? They'd been shaken. They were in fear, and they were doing whatever they could to get that ground beef or toilet paper or whatever. What's inside came out, and it was fear, right? I've also heard stories of another grocery store, and I won't mention names because I don't want to embarrass anyone, but somebody was in line to check out, and they had yogurt in their cart, and the person behind them said, "Boy, I wish they were out of yogurt when I got there. I wish we'd had some because my kids love yogurt and they're going to be home now." The person that had the yogurt says, "You know what, my family, we're all adults, we can eat something different." And she gave the person behind her that yogurt. You see what was in her. That spilled out as well. You know, it's easy for people to be afraid right now, right? You know, we may have some extra time on our hands. You know, we're isolated, right? And I saw one, I forget exactly where I saw it, but they're saying that incidence of depression will probably go up because of the isolation, right? The devil is worshiping stuff in our ear. You need to be afraid. Freak out. You could die. And that, right? You know, it is time when the enemy roars about like a roaring lion. And that. But I think we have an opportunity to spread faith and not fear. All right? I think if we ask the Lord for the good that could come of this, how would he want to use this crisis? What would he want those around us to hear? What would he want us to hear through this crisis? We can share our faith and not our fear. Right now, if we're born again, we don't need to conform to the world. Right? The picture up there is kind of hard to tell, but that's actually a caterpillar in a stage before it becomes a butterfly. Now, one of my favorite verses is Romans 12:2. Right? And part of what it says is that do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect world. Right? Right now, I don't want to be conformed to the world. Right? I want peace. I don't want fear. Right? I need that renewed mind to reveal God's perfect will. And it's interesting, the reason I picked a picture of a caterpillar, if you study caterpillars, and I don't know a whole lot about biology, but evidently when they go from caterpillar stage to butterfly, I think it's a great analogy for what we go through as born-again believers, because it starts out as a caterpillar, and it's crawling on all its legs, and all it can see is what's right in front of it, and it spends its whole life looking for food. When it's born again as a butterfly, it has to actually eat its way out of its skin. Its skin gets hard. It actually has to eat its way out to become the butterfly. And in some ways, that's what happens with us when we're born again, right? We need to eat our way out of our fleshly habits. We need to work our way out of the things that we used to do, the fear and things that we did before we were born again. Ephesians 2, I believe it's verse 8 or 10, talks about us being spiritually dead before we're born again. And so when we're born again, we have an opportunity to consume our old fleshly ways, put them behind us, right? We talked about to, you know, work out our grace or our our salvation with fear and trembling. I think part of that is working out how we used to live and how we don't want to live any longer. All right, let's look at a few passages. This is from 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The natural man, right? In Greek, that means a materialist person, a person who's only concerned with the physical things around him, right? The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, right? They seem foolish to him, right? The fact that you're spending time watching, you know, worshiping with us this morning, studying God's Word, as opposed to searching for toilet paper and ground beef, is foolishness to other people. They think you're crazy. You'd be much better off hunting the aisles of Walmart. Right? And yet, we don't think the way the unsaved man does. Right? We are spiritually discerning the truth. Right? He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. Judges all things. We are not limited to the material physical world. Right? We're able to see that the Lord is still in charge and that we do not need to be in panic over the events around us. Right, we have known the mind of the Lord. We have the mind of Christ. In that, we can ask ourselves, what would the Lord have me see and do in this event? The unsaved cannot do that. But being born again, we can. Another passage is from 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right? We live in the world, right? I need to have food, and frankly, I don't want the toilet paper roll to be empty any more than you do. In that. Now, the world fights using power and manipulation, right? It's who can get first in line, who can get there before the supply runs out. That's how the world fights, right? But I have tools that the non-believer does not have, right? I have the Lord, right? And I have to ask myself, am I fighting based on the value of my 401k, which took a hit this last couple of weeks, and how many rolls of toilet paper I have stuffed in the closet, or am I fighting based on spiritual eyes and spiritual tools? Right now, we don't have time to go into it. Pastor Darren did a marvelous teaching on the weapons of war, spiritual war, and that's in Ephesians 6, and it's, I'm sure, still on the website, and that if you want to look what your spiritual weapons are. Right. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. It's interesting. Stronghold was meant like a castle, a fortification, something that was meant to be defended, right? Now here, Paul, he's talking to born-again Christians, not to non-believers, right? He's telling that we're not tied to the strongholds, right? In fact, spiritual weapons are designed to demolish the strongholds, right? Now, I think of the strongholds in my life, right? They're the habits of earthly thinking, right? They're the habits of turning on the news every 20 minutes to see what the latest update is. You know, is there any new pronouncement on the virus or how's the stock market doing? Those are the strongholds in my life. Spiritual weapons are designed and they're promised to demolish those strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right? That's a powerful passage. Take a look at it, right? How do we spend our extra time? Right? What are we doing with the time that we have? Right? There's pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. You can find them all over the internet and in your television. But we need to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right? We are not helpless victims in this situation. Right? We are in control of the thoughts in our mind, right? It tells us to take captive every thought. Well, that means, one, I have the ability to control my thoughts, and two, it means I have the responsibility to control my thoughts. And when I control my thoughts, what do I want to do with them? I need to make them obedient to Christ, right? I don't need to fall into the temptation to take care of my flesh right now in that. Rather, I need to make those thoughts captive and obedient to Christ, right? And great quote from John Calvin I came across in preparing this. For nothing is more opposed to the spiritual wisdom of God than the wisdom of the flesh, and nothing more opposed to the grace than man's natural ability. Passage in 2 Timothy 1. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Right? Power, and you've all probably heard this before, right? In Greek, it means miraculous power, strength. Right? You know, God has given us a spirit of power, right? miraculous power, the power to do the miraculous. Right? And a sound mind, right? That's a mind that's controlled by discipline. It's a self-controlled mind. It's not a mind that runs wild based on what the media is telling us to freak out over right now, or what our neighbor is telling us to freak out right over. Right? But also important to us, right, is we have an opportunity to testify to the Lord. Right? We're told to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that's in us. Right? If you demonstrate the hope right now, there will be people that want to know about it. There are people that are opening up today that if you had reached out a month ago with the gospel, they say, get your Bible away from me. I don't want to know, yada, yada, yada. And those people today, especially if they're cowering in fear, you can approach them, and they're not going to shut you off the way they would have just a couple of months ago. This situation is opening some people up. Right? But, you know, you hear people say, but there's good reason to be afraid, right? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about that. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now there remain three, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The truth is right now, you and I, we only see a partial reflection of what's all happening. We don't know everything that's going on. Yet the Lord's love will last forever. Right? These three remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. Right? The greatest of these is love. Now, I have to ask myself, is my faith in the government? Is my faith in medicine? Or is it in the Lord? Where have I put my faith? Love is the character of God. Right, there's a passage that says that God is love. Right, if we know God, we know love. The virus gives us an opportunity to show our love, you know, for our brothers and sisters. And like I said, call your brothers and sisters, reach out to them. Do they need groceries? Do they need help? Are they afraid? Do they need prayer? Whatever. It's an opportunity that we normally don't have to show our love, not only to believers but non-believers as well. And that passage says that, you know, people will know us, will know believers by our love one for another. Well, there's no better time to prove that than right now. A couple of final thoughts. I know you hate it when pastors go, oh, yeah, this is the last thought. Yeah, we're getting close. And one is that James 1 reminds us about not being double-minded, right? The double-minded man shouldn't expect anything from the Lord. And it's tempting to be double-minded in the situation that we're in right now. And it is a tough situation, and, you know, there's reason to be concerned. You know, I think I've washed my hands 3 or 4 times already today, right? And I've only been in 2 places, home and here at church. And that, so we need to take good precautions. There's that would be foolish not to do that. And that, but you know, the Lord numbered my days from before I was born. And he knew when he would call me home. And so, you know, I'm not going to do anything stupid in that. But by the same token, only God can determine when I'm going home. All right, Matthew 6:33. All right, I think we should be reminded, you know, this is a passage that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Now is the time to seek first his kingdom. Don't seek first supplies. Seek first the kingdom of God, now more than ever. And don't lose this opportunity to do that. I think there's this is a neat passage in that really talks of this. It's in 2 Kings 6, right? And it's too long to read or get into depth in here, but take a look at it later on. You'll find it fascinating. Elisha, the king of Israel, was at war with the king of the Arameans. Right? And the king of the Arameans kept setting up traps for the king of Israel. And Elijah, the Lord would show Elijah where those traps were. He would tell the king of Israel, and the king of Israel would avoid the trap. Well, the king of Aram, he became upset about this. And somebody said, oh, well, you know, it's Elijah that's causing the problem. And so they decided that they were going to take out Elijah. And so the king of Aram surrounded Elijah, right, overnight. And in the morning, Elijah's servant goes out and he sees this army surrounding them with the intent of killing them. And he goes into Elijah and he's freaking out. He's in fear, same way a lot of us are in fear today. And Elisha says, you know, well, what are you worrying about? Right? And the servant says, well, look at all of these army arrayed against us, wanting to do nothing but to kill us. And Elisha says, oh, you don't see the whole picture. Elisha prayed to the Lord that the Lord would show his servant, give his spirit spiritual eyes, right? Well, the spiritual eyes would show that there was an army of angels surrounding Elijah and his servant, arrayed against the Aramean army. And that. And sure enough, Elijah and his servant were saved. And I think that is a lesson for us today, right? That we see only with the eyes of the servant. If we ask the Lord to see with spiritual eyes, he will give us the ability to do that. I want to see with spiritual eyes. That's what I want to see in this situation. I want the Lord to show me opportunities to reach out to my brothers and sisters, to my neighbors. I want us to do that. And at the same time, I need to be aware of where I'm weak and vulnerable, where the enemy is prowling about, looking to take a bite out of my backside. And that I need to be aware of those things. And that. So right now, there's a battle going on for your mind, right? And that's where the battles take place. On one hand, you have an enemy trying to control your mind, control what you think. On the other hand, you have a Lord who says, come unto me and I will give you rest and a reason to share the hope that you have within you. So we have an opportunity. We have a choice. We can be part of a pandemic of fear, or we can be part of a pandemic of faith. My prayer is that you would be part of a pandemic of faith. Would you all join me in prayer? Father God, we may be separated right now physically, Lord, but we're not separated spiritually. You've knit us together in a powerful way as a body of believers, a body of born-again believers who have the ability to see with spiritual eyes, see what the enemy's up to, and see not only how to thwart him, but how to take advantage of him and reach out to those who don't even know you. Father, I ask that you would bless this body now. You would cause us to come together and act as a body, Lord. Use this time that we might be strengthened and that you might be glorified, Lord, that more and more people would know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who is not quarantined, not conquered by any virus. Amen. Or any enemy, that there is nothing that can conquer you, Lord, that you are worthy of all praise. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God be praised.
I guess we thank everyone. I'd ask you, you know, if you thought this message is you know, at all useful, share it with your friends, and that they're home too. And Lord willing, we'll all be together. I don't know whether it'll be next Sunday or hopefully a Sunday very soon where we won't be sharing virtual hugs. We'll be sharing the real thing. In the meantime, reach out to each other. I'm reminded about a week ago Thursday, I managed to have a disagreement with the kitchen knife and put a slice in my, the knife won. No surprise there. And you would think at this stage a boy would know how to play with knives, especially a kid raised in Chicago, but that's a different story. At any rate, it's fascinating, though, is the body, it bled quite a bit for the first few hours in that. But the body knits itself, right? The body's designed, it starts sending white blood cells and, kind of starting to scab over now and that. When the body is attacked, it comes together and serves the part that needs service. And we're reminded that we're the body of Christ. And now is an opportunity for us to, maybe I need to be a white blood cell for somebody else who needs that to bind that wound right now. And that, so there's an opportunity and just a thought for you.
Amen. 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 Well, great word. Well, again, thank you all for joining in. It's I could see by the comments and by the amount of folks that are on there that a lot of folks have been touched already this morning.
Cool.
So it's beautiful. And
praise the Lord.
God be praised. Remember, make those calls, make those texts to people, and let's keep reaching out however we can.
Amen.
Amen. God be praised. We're going to shut this thing down.
Okay. Have a blessed week, folks.